Reverend Jackson, once again, thank you for taking the time to do this.
To you, sir.
Absolutely. Tell us what happened the day Dr. King was assassinated.
Well, it's significant to note that it's not just that he was killed, but he lived. His living is what made the killing significant. And he lives on in the kind of resurrected spiritual sense since that time, shows the value of his living. We were planning a Poor People's Campaign to Washington. He contended we'd gain the public accommodation bill, we'd overcome the humiliation of being denied access to hotels and motels and parks and libraries. We'd earn the right to vote. But too many were working poor people. They were living in trailer camps, and they were living homeless. They were living in rundown shacks. We observed that he had a meeting at his office on the 15th of January, focusing on how to end poverty and how to end the war, because he felt the war on poverty money was going to the war in Vietnam. We were killing rather than healing. And so that's what attracted him to Memphis, because he heard on February the 1st, two sanitation workers were killed. And the workers were protesting, fighting for the right for dues checkoff. He thought that was a concrete way of saying here people were said to be lazy and unnecessary. They're hard workers and they're very necessary. And that these sanitation workers, they too need to have a day when they can watch their children graduate from school. They have dreams. These are servicemen. They are veterans. Give them their rights, their economic rights, and give it to them now. So we were on that focus. And that afternoon, late, while on the way home to Reverend Billy Kyle's home for dinner, I was with a group over preparing some songs for that night. He came out around 6. We were supposed to leave at 5. It's just as you were around last, Doc. You're running late, Doc. You know we were supposed to be an hour ago. He laughed. He said, you don't even have on the shirt and tie. I said, Doc, the prerequisite for eating is an appetite, not a tie. He laughed. He said, you're crazy. And we laughed. And he looked down and saw Ben Branch in the car. We played for him the song Precious Lord on a saxophone 2 weeks before at the Brett Baxter meeting in Chicago. And he said, be sure to play it for him. Ben said, when he raised his head, pow! As he raised his head up, it hit him. The bullet hit him in the throat. Severed his tie. I remember a voice saying, get low, because whoever it was, we thought they may have been spraying bullets. And four or five of us in the courtyard. I was on the courtyard on the floor level. He was on the balcony level. I hit the ground running toward the stairs. He'd been hit and violently hit, knocked against the wall. The foot was on the banister. And Mr. Withers, the photographer, screwed up two jars of blood. They wanted to get rid of an appetite, 9 jars of blood. It was too eerie to take something like that. And I remember Reverend Abernathy came out and said, back up, this is my friend Martin. You can't leave us now. You can't leave us now. And so there's a picture of the police coming across with their guns drawn. There's a picture of us standing, pointing toward where the shot had come from. So the gun shot came from that way, not behind us, in front of us. So I got up and wiped off my hands. I was living next door to him at the hotel, and I went and called Mrs. King. I had the bedroom phone, and she picked up the phone. I said, how you doing? She said, oh, I'm doing just fine. I said, Mrs. King, I couldn't quite get it out, you know. Dr. King has been shot. I think he's been shot in the shoulder. I really couldn't say what I had really seen. And I wish you would consider coming as shot him as quick as I can. I am sure. Within a few minutes, they called and said he was dead. And in many ways, life for us was like before and after Dr. King. But I think a lot of the focus this season has been on 50 years since he has been dead, versus how his life has manifested itself in what I would call the resurrection after death. Although the kids are marching at Parkland School in Florida, and the youth are having a massive march to stop gun violence, that's the spirit of Martin Luther King. When we said Free Mandela and we engaged in going to jail to amplify apartheid and segregation was wrong, that was a King spirit. We went from the balcony in Memphis where he was killed, the balcony at the White House where Barack was waving his hand over the Potomac River. as America's first African American president, that was not the King spirit. So that while we focus a lot on the assassination or the crucifixion, it's been a very powerful resurrection of new hope and new life. It's not always been a straight line, but it's always been very determined by the people who were beneficiaries of his life and his work.
When you were marching alongside Dr. King all those years ago, did you ever envision a day in which there would be young white boys and girls following in your footsteps?
Well, yes, because that was his dream, it was his plan. January 15th, his last birthday, we had a meeting in our office in Atlanta. About 50 people. There were some whites from Appalachia and Smoky Mountains. There were some Jewish allies from New York, led by Al Lowenstein, peace activists. There were Native Americans from the reservations. There were some Latino Americans from the Cesar Chavez group from the Southwest, some blacks from the South. He saw a multiracial, multicultural, one big tent society. And he felt that we could not lift up one without lifting up all of us. He felt we should have a floor beneath which no one would fall. Whether you're whites or whether you're blacks or browns, he embraced globalism for all of us, not nationalism for some of us. And so I'm not at all surprised when I see young whites who embrace high principles of love and care and justice, embracing this. And even when we were at the height of our fight, you take the guy like Harrison Walford, who became a senator for a while from Pennsylvania, he worked closely supporting Dr. King, the role that Robin John Kennedy played, the role that Lyndon Johnson played. We inspired the involvement of whites and others, but never was. Our movement was never exclusive. Our movement was inclusive at all times.
Rainbow Push will be in Memphis on April 4th. What's happening that day?
Thousands of people will gather commemorating the 50th anniversary of Dr. King's assassination. But I'm concerned that in the South there are 4 million blacks unregistered, 2.5 million who are registered who did not vote. If that force comes alive in coalition with their white allies, we can change the South and change America. We saw evidence of it. This year there was a big election in New Jersey. White and black ran on the same ticket. Black as lieutenant governor, white is now the governor. That's Rainbow Coalition. Mm-hmm. There was a big struggle in Virginia where Heather Heyer, a young white lady, was killed by the Nazis down there. And one side was pulling to maintain the Confederate statues of Robert E. Lee. One was saying, one America, one flag. And we won that campaign. One of every 5 votes was African American. It was a coalition. And there's an African American lieutenant governor in Virginia. The big race in Alabama, where Roy Moore and Trump were pulling hard on the very negative side of history. And African Americans and white women came alive, and we won that race, and a third of the votes were African American. That comes out of the movement of some. He bequeathed to us the right to vote. That vote is today our real march and nonviolent witness. Mm.
Thank you for your time, Reverend. You already answered this question, but if you could, just once more in a few sentences, tell us how the spirit of Dr. King lives on and where Black America is 50 years after he has passed on.
Well, 50 years later, 244 years of legal slavery where blacks had no rights, fight for bound respect according to the Supreme Court. 100 years of legal Jim Crow where 5,000 blacks were lynched without a single indictment. Slavery to Jim Crow today's discrimination is an unbroken line. But we keep getting better because we're working harder and we're working smarter and with more allies. What we do know is that we all need health care, affordable health care. We all need affordable education. We all need to coexist and not co-annihilate. We all need to live in peace and not be divided in injustice. And so we've survived apart. We're now learning how to live together. That was his vision. Not just surviving apart. The lower animals can survive. Mm-hmm. We must live together as brothers and sisters and not die apart as fools in foolish ways.
Thank you for taking time. I really appreciate
it. Proud of you, man. Dr. King would be proud of you.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you.